You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we do thank you for listening. Welcome to America's Web Radio. It's time now for Medicine on Call with Dr. Elena George. And Dr. George is about 2 minutes away and will be here momentarily. She just called in that a little bit of traffic problems, but she will be here very shortly. As she is headed in to the studio, we want to remind everybody that we're only 26 days away from Obamacare. The first implementing of Obamacare will be taking place. And as many of you know, there is the possibility that Congress would pull their heads out and defund it or not fund Obamacare, which would be a blessing. Obamacare, as many of you may or may not know, is, as it's been described, a train wreck. People don't know what it's going to do. People don't understand it. People are still wondering what these exchanges are, both public and private exchanges. It is an extremely, extremely complicated, confused, and understood disaster, and it starts in October. There is some talk that because it is such a disaster that we have a number of things that our president has been very capable of doing, and one of them is distraction. He is the master of distraction. What's happening right now is a distraction with Syria. We don't know what's going on there or what Congress will do or what Obama will do with or without Congress. So we have that problem. We also have this distraction of what's going on with Obamacare, the immigration bill. By the way, Obamacare will touch everybody. It doesn't matter who you are, it will touch everybody. Doctors are being absolutely beaten to death. Our healthcare system is going to turn into a total disaster with Obamacare. And, folks, we're not going to be getting the care that we're getting today. And it is just absolutely a nightmare. And if you're not aware of it, or you're someone in your family is not aware of what's about to happen, rates are going up. He lied about that. He lied about the ability to keep your same doctor. Obama has lied about everything, and particularly with Obamacare. It is a disaster. And we're going to be talking about it when Dr. George comes in, as we have many times. And if people will go back to some of Dr. George's shows, you know, months and months ago, she was on top of this from absolutely the get-go. And speaking of Dr. George, she just walked in the studio, and I was just giving you a pat on the back for, you know, you've been talking about Obamacare and the disaster, the train wreck that we're going to have for months and months, and I would even say at this point for a year or so. And it's just, it's a shame, but we're only we're 26 days away from the train wreck hitting us all.
Unfortunately. Yeah, we are. The sad thing about this is that, Scar, sorry about that.
That's all right.
The sad part about this is that the people who wrote this bill and the people who said we had to pass it are immune from it. You know, they've grandfathered themselves out. It's not good enough for them. They want to maintain the status quo, and I just find the whole thing extremely hypocritical, just incredibly hypocritical. And I don't know about you, but it's just every day there's something else that comes out that, I don't know. We're running, it's a parallel universe here where the Congress people in Washington do what they like, and we're supposed to like it. And the congressman got on TV last night about this whole Syria debacle, and he said he was getting calls from his constituents not to do it. Where does this sound familiar to you? TARP, anybody? You know, I'm about to call my congressman and tell them not to do it as well. And his attitude was, and the person who was interviewing him asked him, well, what do? You're supposed to be the representative of the people. Do you listen to your constituents, or what do you do? And he said, well, I hear what my constituents say, but I'm going to do what's right for America. Well, you're supposed to be our advocate. You don't get to say things like that when a majority of the people calling you tell you no. What are you doing up there?
I brought this up on another show yesterday, I think it was. But, I think there's a misconception, too. Yes, I got Dr. Tom Price as my representative. We got Idiot Isaacson and Shambliss that are both worthless as our senators. But I go one step further. If they're elected, they're from districts, but they're anywhere, from any place that they're elected, they're our representatives. I don't give a damn if they're from Louisiana, from New Mexico, from Texas, wherever. Mm-hmm. They're still the people's representatives.
Especially the House of Representatives.
And particularly
that's
the
exactly House what they're supposed to be, and they don't operate that way.
No,
and everything they've passed in there that I can think of in the last two or three, maybe probably longer, but the farm bill, what else is there? The Obamacare nonsense. The list is getting very long on bills that do the opposite of what they say they're supposed to do. Every time there's a war on something, you can bet your butt that it's going to be the opposite of what the war is. I mean, again, let's go back in history. The war on cancer. Where are we going with that? It's one out of three people now are expected, projected to get cancer in their lifetime. That's outrageous. That means there has to be something in the environment, in what we're eating, in what they say that it's healthy for us to be exposed to, that's causing this. And instead of fixing the problem, all they're managing to do is pay off the people who are perpetuating the system. And that's what Obamacare does. Not only does it not treat you, not only does it not make you healthy, it empowers the same entities that are causing this, the toxicity in our society. Look at the pharmaceutical industry. We can talk about them for a whole 12 shows probably. But there's a study that came out that said one out of 25 people in this country are on sleep medication, some sort of prescribed sleep medication. I mean, this is just really, come on. I'm just thinking about, I mean, I'm not that old. I have not been out of medical school that long. It's less than 15 years, 16 years. And from the time I graduated to now, it's just, why is everybody on Lipitor? Why is everybody on Crestor? Why is everybody on sleep medication? Why does everybody have ADD all of a sudden and autism and Asperger's? And it's not by accident, okay? I don't believe that this is just happening out of the blue. There's a lot of manufactured everything, terrorism, manufactured epidemics that try to lead us down a path of, well, it's bigger than you, so you have to go, we know what's best for you, so you need to follow our lead, or we're going to pass these laws that are going to step all over your privacy and your liberty, but it's because we care. I mean, it's just manipulation. I actually started reading the book Brave New World, rereading it, because back in the day we actually read literature when I was in school. But I can tell you when I read it, I don't know, maybe it was in eighth grade or so, I had no idea what I was reading. Now I'm reading this critically, and I'm like, oh my God, this is coming true. 1984 is only part of this. Brave New World is, I recommend that people go out and get that book. Aldous Huxley is the author of it. A eugenicist, you name it, you know, big government, New World Order type of thing. And this is like a blueprint for these folks. It's all about control of your education, control your reproductive rights, control of your mouth, because you can't say anything now without offending somebody. And if that's the case, all of a sudden you're a racist, a bigot, or, you know, you're going to be a terrorist soon if you have a free mind and a mouth to speak it. And as long as we sit back and say nothing, then they win. I mean, this is, I don't understand why people can actually see this. And I'm hoping that the only good thing that I could see that would come out of this whole Syria debacle would be that people who don't normally talk and hate each other will come together for a common cause. That's what I'm hoping, whether it's liberal, you know, peaceniks.
Where are all the war protesters that were against Iraq, against Afghanistan?
There's a few. There's people who camped out in Kerry's doorstep recently and basically made a stink. Oh. People demonstrated in Washington. But, of course, Dave, they're not going to get TV time. You understand that, right? So maybe there's a lot of people out there that are actually making a move, but they're never going to be – they're never going to get the critical media attention that a racist, you know, some sort of racial crime would get. It's not going to happen because it's going to change the conversation of the country. But I'm a big fan of alternative media, obviously. And we're getting more powerful than CNN and the rest of that, if you want to call that media. But they're going down the tubes.
Oh, we're even little old America's Web Radio is getting noticed to the point that it took me 2 hours talking to my server Saturday because we were threatened. And we had had two formal complaints registered against us. And I was guilty. You know, this is the bad thing. You're
guilty until
you prove yourself innocent.
Yeah.
And then their response was, well, and it all comes back to, how can I monitor what somebody else puts in an email? Why are you coming after me when it was somebody else that
for an email?
In an email.
Oh, wow.
And their response was, and I love this, from their security department, well, we've resolved this ticket. But don't ever do it again, or we might be forced to take other measures. I'm sitting there 2 hours later, Saturday morning, just saying, how do you fight City Hall? And security with HostGator, you can't talk to. You have to email back and forth. That's the
it
only
sounds
way
like
they'll
Medicare.
Communicate with you. But yeah. We are making a difference. And if God knows, if we didn't have the internet or didn't have an alternative to mainstream media, we'd already be 6 feet under.
Well, if you think about the power, or at least the former power of the mainstream press, it's propaganda. I don't know if I think this is true. I heard this yesterday on the radio. That the new evidence that they put out a picture of hundreds of children who were killed, and they said it was from the Assad regime. Turns out it was a picture from Iraq ages ago by Saddam Hussein. That's right. So that picture was not real. I mean, it's real, but it's not Assad regime that did it. It's all about ginning up your emotion. It's complete fabrication most of the time. How many times have you seen false flag things happen, the Sea of Tonkin to get us into the Vietnam War, all these things. It's not by accident. It's the same playbook. Whether it's telling people that healthcare costs are so exploding exponentially, your doctor is ripping you off, they're trying to buy Mercedes and cut off feet, take out tonsils, all on your dime, when that's not happening, when it's actually the opposite. Private practitioners are being put out of business. The cost of healthcare is it is a sieve and it is a drain, but it's going uphill. It's not going to the physician. It's not going to the person on the front line doing it. It's going to the corporate entities, to the hospitals, to the pharmaceutical industry, to the insurance companies, and they've managed to create a very powerful grid. They are controlling medicine, whether it's what I'm allowed to prescribe, how long it should take for you to come out of the hospital, whether or not I get trained at all, to be a specialist. It's not coming from the medical, the doctors on the ground. It's coming from corporate interests, which have actually, like tentacles, come into the medical system and have taken it over. Whether that's from the specialty boards, the medical schools, the residency programs, all the way out. People don't understand that, but it's so in your face now, and they're like, so what? That's where we're at. They don't even care if you can see it and you complain about it. What are you going to do about it? What can you do to us? That's their attitude, and we let them have this power. We have to take it back.
On that, let's take a quick break. We'll be back with Medicine on Call right after this.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that allergy season in Georgia is year-round? Beginning in July through November, ragweed is the predominant pollen. But February through May, tree pollen causes allergy symptoms. Grass pollen occurs from mid-May through the beginning of July. If you suffer from daily nasal congestion, sneezing, runny nose, headache, ear clogging, or popping, or a chronic cough, these symptoms may be due to allergy and not infection. You should also think of allergies if there is no fever, chills, or colored mucus. Treatment should include nasal salt water sprays over the counter or antihistamines that do not cause drowsiness. If you have persistent headaches, a decrease in your sense of smell, or nosebleeds, you should see an ear, nose, and throat physician. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
Hi, this is Dave Smith. Listen every Monday to America's Web Radio, The American Dream. My past background with healthcare, being president of insurance companies, will keep you informed on healthcare and other topics that's going on in Washington and around this great country. American Dream, 10 a.m., America's Web Radio.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that nasal stuffiness can cause snoring and decrease the amount of oxygen that your body receives? A decrease in oxygen to the brain can cause problems with memory and concentration, and in severe cases, it can cause stroke. A decrease in oxygen to the heart can lead to high blood pressure, and in severe cases, a heart attack. Nasal stuffiness can be caused by exposure to irritants such as dust, mold, pollution, and chemicals. It can also be caused by exposure to trees, grass, and certain foods such as corn, wheat, eggs, soy, milk, and various meats. Medical treatment with nasal sprays and/or antihistamines that don't cause drowsiness can alleviate the congestion. It is important not to use over-the-counter spray decongestants since they can be addictive and actually make breathing more difficult. See your doctor for a complete evaluation of your nose. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Take him out.
And we're back on Medicine on Call. And I, as I mentioned to Dr. George during the break, I've asked every host this. And it's important particularly because Dr. George is a doctor. And wouldn't you summarize dead as dead? No matter how you get there, you're still dead.
Yes, I think I would.
So with that being said, and it's a tragedy, 426 children, I believe, and 1,426 or something total or whatever, that were killed, they think, or they're saying, with gas. But, you know, I had a good friend, he and I were talking about it, and, you know, war is hell. War is bad. Now, you know, if you've just taken a couple of rounds in your stomach, that's not a very pleasant death unto itself. If you've just looked down and you've lost your leg and you're bleeding to death in a few seconds, minutes, that's not real nice either. So we're making such, you know, and I don't mean it's great. I don't mean it's, but war is bad. And these are casualties of a civil war that's going on that we have no control over, that we don't have any business even talking about. And yes, Mr. Kerry was right concerning what had been said from World War I about mustard gas and all the rest. Mm-hmm. But we can't control what every country does. And, you know, it's coming out now. It looks like it wasn't Assad and his people, but it was potentially the revolutionaries. So I guess my question is, nobody chooses the way they die. And I don't see that the gas was that much worse than bleeding to death on the street with your leg blown off.
I mean, I guess it's a literal way to interpret it. You know, I see it a little bit big as a bigger picture issue. Life is precious no matter whose it is. It's hypocritical for the United States to get on and talk about innocent life when the drones have killed hundreds, if not thousands, of women and children who were judged guilty without trial. So it's hypocritical. If you're going to be the the moral leader of the world, and you should walk the walk and talk the talk. You cannot do one thing and then say, oh, well, he's doing the same thing, but when he does it, it's bad. That's a problem. And it's not, you're right, it is a civil war. It puts our soldiers further in harm's way. I don't believe that they're not going to put people on the ground. I think they will. Once you open the door for them to do what they want to do, there's no control. It's like a Pandora's box. They've already said what they're going to do in response. Iran will proxy attack, you know, Israel. Maybe Russia will get involved. Maybe China will get. You don't even know what the outcome of this thing is going to be. But we're committing an act of war, technically. It's not the first time either. We did it to Libya. But this is not the same situation. Libya was kind of itself. But they have, they're part of a you know, an axis. You've got Russia, you've got Iran, you've got the other Muslim countries who may decide, you know what, we're tired of getting bombed. We're going to group up with them. We just don't know how it's going to work out. And it's just based on, I don't think it's been proven. It's based on, again, trying to lead you with your emotions. Everybody in this world would see a child hurt and would empathize with that and want to get revenge. And that's human nature. I have a problem with who's doing it, why it's being done, and if it's trying to lead us down a path that's a bigger picture. It's the same playbook. Same thing happened with Afghanistan and Iraq. Same thing happened with Vietnam. A lot of things that are just the same playbook. And it goes internationally and domestically. Obamacare is only one iteration of it. You can talk about the obesity epidemic. That's the next thing. I mean, all of a sudden, everybody's huge. Now the government's costing so much money because everybody's got diabetes or blood pressure issues or heart problems. And it's bankrupting. I mean, it's the same, bankrupting the system. So if the government feel, you know, healthcare costs through Medicare and Medicaid are going through the roof, then the government has by all rights the means and the necessity, a moral imperative to step in and fix it. They're going to fix it by saying, hey, you're 500 pounds, your BMI is 26, you're potentially going to cost us a ton of money, and you're going to, you know, you're the outlier. We're going to control you.
Well, they're going to take care of them, and the guy that's 50, works out every day, and is in good shape, he's going to be paying for the...
Not only him, but the 20-year-old.
And the 20-year-old, too.
And the 22-year-old or whatever. The young person that's entering the job market is going to pay for the privilege. And trust me, when they get to be 50, they're going to be pissed off when they're told, hey, you lived a good life. It's time for the one below you to get something. It's a Ponzi scheme. So these guys are paying into the system. It's already rationed. It's only going to get worse down the road. The hospitals see it. The insurance companies see it. Look, every time they've... You know, they've delayed a mandate. It's for a reason. These mandates that have been that have been delayed are designed to break the system. If you really step back and go at, you know, 1,000 feet, look down at this thing, they are making basically what they're trying to do is stop the employers from offering health insurance because they're the largest pool of coverage. They want that gone. They've already told IBM and the big corporations, you don't have to follow the mandate for another year. What do you think they're doing? UPS is one example. Hey, we're not covering any more spouses. All those small chains, they're going to part-time employees. This is for a reason that they are doing this. And when these employers break their covenant with their workers and they're free to enter the exchanges, then that's more grist for the mill. That means you have more bodies entering this exchange system. I also think that the immigration issue is just another mechanism of getting bodies into the system. There's a lot of reasons that people should, you know, that I think that they're pushing this immigration issue. But it was actually said by Kathleen Sebelius, so that, you know, she basically showed her hand on this. She basically said that if the immigrants are allowed to come into the system, they will actually pay taxes and pay into the healthcare pool and will actually get more money because of it. This is not out of altruism. It's out of control. So you've got two pools now, or two streams of revenue coming into the system. those who had employer benefits, those that are immigrants that have been legalized. Then they're trying their darndest to get the young people into the system because everybody knows that a 20-something may spend money to pay for premiums, but they rarely go to the doctor. So they're actually another pool of funds coming into the healthcare system that will drive the exchanges and actually be the fuel that Obamacare will run on. It's all about money, and it's all about driving the cost of healthcare, or I should say controlling the cost of healthcare and putting that ball in the government's court. And once they control the 1/6 of the economy, then they have you. And there's only a few things that are really that you have to have: your health, your family, and I believe God are the three things that are really important. And once they take your ability to take care of yourself, to make health decisions that will, that are personal decisions that will benefit you and your family. And by the way, you're paying for these things, so you should have control over these things. But that's going to be taken away from you under this new collectivist system. And for those that don't know what collectivism is, it's basically, it's not socialism per se, but it's the feeling that the good of the many, because the government is the central focal point, they're the source that gives all the goodies, that becomes the mom and dad for everybody. And once the power and the money and everything is centered in that system, then the government gets to dole out and to pick winners and losers, basically, on who gets the goodies. And healthcare will become one of those goodies where it was. And this funny thing is, the people who are in favor of this collectivist system always talk about healthcare being a privilege and not a right. I'm sorry, a right and not a privilege. And what actually will turn out, what will actually turn out to be the case is that those who get the best healthcare are the ones who will have the privilege to do so. It's not a right anymore. It's like a, I guess, a gift that will be given by the government to those who they like and who perpetuate the system. And it really locks us into a tiered system that's, it's not the American way. It's not about work hard. It's not about play the game well and win at it and you know, not just survive, but thrive. It's not about that anymore. It's about basically becoming a slave to the system. You live, you die, and they control both ends of this. Just the fact that the bioethicists are taking over the healthcare arguments, talking about post-birth abortions and teaching sexual education to kindergartners. This is all social engineering, and they're very naked and aggressive about social engineering now, and it's all about mind control. If you don't know that there's another way to do it, that there's a better way, that you do have freedoms and you're an individual, you're not part of a whole, you're an individual. If you don't believe that, if you're not taught that, then you will be fabulous grist for this mill, and they will run over you. And as soon as you lose your ability to make money and be productive, quote unquote, they may have a hospice bed waiting for you if you get there. Because if one or few of us have cancer, we may not even get to the hospice. By the time the cost and the fact that you're diagnosed and it's God knows what will happen to you, but you're not going to live a normal, healthy life. My dad was blessed to live till 90, almost 91. Work in his garden, live in his house, go on his porch, have people come over and have a great time. And then when it was time for him to go, he died in his bed. He's blessed. I don't think most people will get that, to do that anymore, to work and live and thrive off the fruit of your labor. That's not going to happen. It's tragic, honestly.
We'll be back right after this.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that wellness and prevention is the key to living a long and healthy life? For example, common diseases such as acid reflux, high cholesterol, non-insulin dependent diabetes, and high blood pressure in some cases are caused by poor nutrition. Scientific studies suggest the use of nutritional supplements, a healthy diet, and exercise can control and, in some cases, prevent disease. Use nutritional supplements that are formulated using good manufacturer practice standards. And remember to let your doctor know what you are taking, since it can react with prescription medication. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
Hi, everybody. It's Don Zabkar, your host for Who Knew? We air Mondays 2 to 3 on America's Web Radio, and then occasionally throughout the week. We've got some great subjects. This administration, or this regime, as you know, is providing us with great material. So stay tuned. Check us out. America's Web Radio. It's Who Knew? With Don Zabkar.
For years, Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center has been providing outstanding care to patients of all ages. They are dedicated to patient satisfaction and have been the recipient of the Georgia Otolaryngology Association Patient Satisfaction Award. They welcome any questions you may have about their services. Their practice includes treatment of asthma, allergies, sleep apnea, snoring, hearing impairments, and chronic sinus disease. Dr. Elena George is a board-certified ear, nose, and throat surgeon. Her training in New York has included training at Manhattan Eye, Ear, and Throat Hospital and Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. She believes in practicing both the art and science of medicine. All patients are seen by Dr. George. All treatment options are discussed, and time will be spent to answer all questions. Their office is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, you can be confident that you are in good hands with their professional team.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Or some other entity. Welcome back to Medicine on Call.
We have more fun off mic than we do online.
Yeah, we do usually. I was giving examples before the break of how I thought the government was using its power. It's not even a bully pulpit, it's bully power over us. As physicians, we are now, you said at the beginning of the show, guilty until proven innocent. It happened to you on your radio show. It happens to doctors also. So when Medicare swoops in, or Medicaid, they don't come in saying, you know, we're investigating. We want to know what the truth is.
We have a question.
Yeah, that's not what they come in to do. They come and shut you down because you're guilty until proven innocent. And under this rule or these laws, they can sell your stuff, auction it off before you even go to trial. So if you're actually found innocent of the crime, you don't have a practice to go back to because it's gone. You know, and it's a means of intimidation. And it's not only private physicians. We're easy pickings. We're low fruit. There's no way that we can fight. We don't have enough money to fight when they come after us. But they're coming after some hospitals. And I heard Emory recently got slapped with, I don't know how many millions it was, but they just paid it because they had some sort of research program that was billing Medicare inappropriately. But it's a shakedown.
You know, with that, I put on one of my Facebook pages that calling the minority and majority leaders of the House and Senate in to sit down and have a discussion about Syria and all this kind of stuff, I put on my Facebook page, he called them in to remind them of what he has on them.
Probably.
You know, it's Chicago politics. And you think if he has access to NSA and IRS and...
Oh, they're tapping their email and their tweeting. And there's no question about it.
You know, I have no doubt that Congress has no guts because they're all being extortion, blackmail, whatever you want to call it.
I think they're compromised.
Yeah.
And those that
there's
aren't...
There's no innocent person up there, I don't think.
Maybe they're one or two, but they get silenced by the people who have something to hide. And, you know... I had a conversation with a friend about this. If I were in that position, I took an oath to the country, to the Constitution. Yes, it's a gravy train. Yes, I'm sure it's just party all the time, basically. But there comes a point where, okay, I'm just going to give it up now because I'm so compromised I can't do my job. And I'm working honestly against my own interests. Wouldn't you leave? These people never go. I mean, they have They're there for years. I mean, they can't pry them out with a shoehorn. They're committing crime. Charlie Rangel is a perfect example. God knows what else he's done. I mean, what he got caught with was probably the tip of the iceberg. And this man is still...
And what happened to him?
Nothing.
Nothing.
I mean, was he censured? Maybe. I don't know. They never go anywhere. I mean, even the fact that they get convicted and they're felons, they still get to collect their congressional...
Well, Jesse Jackson Jr. is getting his $8,700 a month while he's serving time.
That's sick. Honestly. And they would never vote that out.
Our
you
tax
know?
Dollar is at work. That's crazy. It's
I don't even have words for it, except that's what we have recalls for. I think John McCain is a perfect example of someone, and Lindsey Graham, both should be recalled. I don't know what agenda they're serving, but they just need to be removed, honestly.
Well, this is the I can't imagine under any circumstance there's no reason for us to go into Syria, and for them to be supporting it and coming out public, it's they've got to have the squeeze being put on them. You know, we've got pictures of you somewhere. We've got this. We got that.
Or, you know, it could be the old-fashioned, I'm special. You know, he's called me, and I have power, and people are going to defer to me. It could be just that as well, which is even more pathetic, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look at people like Senator Baucus, I think it's Montana, who helped create this nonsense they want to call Obamacare. He had the unmitigated gall to basically brag about his health policy expert, the person who worked in his office, who was part of the insurance. I think she worked for not Kaiser, one of the huge insurance industries, companies. She came right from there into his, you know, his policy group, and she wrote the bill. And he was like, oh, I want to thank her for all her hard work. Yeah, really, hard work. Getting all sorts of goodies and givebacks and really ingraining the power of the insurance industry in healthcare. That's what this thing is. It's insurance companies running the show, but they actually got thrown under the bus. Now they're seeing that they got thrown under the bus. It was like a double cross, because what the insurance companies didn't realize is that the government can lowball them, can put them in a position where they have to give all of these mandates, but they can't. But they can. There was supposedly was a cap on what they could charge. I think that little deal is on the back burner for a while, because again, there's another mandate that they got rid of, which was the cap that people would pay in premiums and out of pocket. It was supposed to be in place, but they've delayed that. So this is the last, I guess, giveaway to the insurance industry, probably to sucker them into getting into the exchanges, I think. And then once that's in, they're going to cut them off at the knees.
It's interesting on the exchanges. It's sort of become one of these things of another way to skin the cat. And the public exchanges are basically governmental, run by the health or by the insurance companies. But the interesting thing about the private exchange, if you go that route for whatever reason, or your company says, well, I'm going to give you $500 a month or whatever, the private exchange goes back almost to like a capitalistic or capital type program that we used to have. If the consumer is smart enough and realizes what's out there, that they can pick and choose the kind of coverage that they want and
maybe
under cost.
Not really, because what the government controls, or what the government places as the framework, the private insurers actually have to follow, and they tend to. Now, I see what you're saying. You know, if you self-fund your own little small group, you still have to follow some of the mandates of what the federal government is requesting, right? And I personally think it should be a free market straight up. You know, have real competition. There isn't any. It's still locked. And any insurance, any private insurer will still want to save a bottom. They'll want to save money, and they'll go for an HMO type of product where you have gatekeepers, where you have limited, you have more out of pocket for the person than the company paying. You know, it's business. That's what it comes down to. If people were to spend more money up front for the routine health care, no longer have that covered by the insurance, and actually leave that money in the pot for when you really need it, going for big tests, going for surgeries, getting hospitalized, that would be more appropriate, and the cost would be fractional of what they are now. But since everybody wants something for nothing, you end up it ends up costing everybody more. It was, you know, it was brilliant on the insurance company's part to get you addicted to their services. You know, 30 years ago, that wasn't the case. When you went to a doctor, you paid fee for service, and you accessed your insurance when you had to have a test or an OR or something that was a big ticket item. That's the way it should be. You cannot pay $10 copay to come into a doctor's office and not expect that artificial depression of price to not pop up somewhere else. And ultimately, these guys are all about making money. So they're not interested in you using their services. They want you to pay the premium, and they want to deny you after the fact. That's what they do. So there's nobody who cares more about you and your pocketbook than you. The government doesn't. The insurance companies don't. As soon as people wake up and smell the coffee on that one, I think they'll be able to see what it is for what it is. It's just it's a sinkhole.
What
a tax.
What's going to happen? I'm one of the ones that's on a constant drug. I take a product that costs me, I get a 90-day supply for like $20, I think it is, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's through the company. It's only because the company that manufactures it sends me a card that I give to my pharmacist. Now, I have no clue what the pharmacist pays for the drug. However, if I were to buy the drug myself, the 90-day supply would be over $750. And I know I'm stupid, but I can't figure out how they can charge me $20 because I have this card, or it's $750 if you walk in the door and you don't have their little card.
Well, it's a cartel, and then the prices are artificially maintained. And the fact that you can get yours for $20 means that someone who doesn't have it is paying the $700 because of your discount. And it's arbitrary.
It's a discount from the
manufacturer.
No,
I'm with you, but it's arbitrary. So they can just make a price. I mean, I've written prescriptions for people who have a $200 prescription. I didn't even realize that until they told me, for a little an eardrop that lasts for 10 days. It's about the size of, you know, your thumb, and it's $200. And it's been on the market for years. It shouldn't cost that much. You know, they've already made their money back. I totally understand R&D. You have to make your money back. You've got a 7-year, you know, patent on it. They can't touch it. I understand that. But trust me, in that 7 years, they made Lipitor back. They made, gosh, you name it.
Oh, I
Cialis and all that other stuff back.
Vibramycin or doxycycline.
It's all.
It used to be $4 a pill at worst at the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's over $100 because the manufacturer quit manufacturing it because they couldn't make any money at the price they could charge. So now a small manufacturer is manufacturing it, and if the doctor wants to prescribe it, there's no competition.
That happened with Coumadin. It happened with other. It happened with a lot of drugs, but it's about cartel. So the government is actually inserting itself into this system. Let's give it a perfect example: would be vaccines. Before the government got into this vaccine game and actually made the manufacturers immune from prosecution for anything that could happen. If you got blind, if you were blinded, you were killed. Tough. The government gave them a carve out. You cannot touch them. If your kid has autism or brain damage, it doesn't matter. Because the government did that, it went from vaccines being not even made. Remember, you couldn't even get a flu vaccine. Now they're trying to mandate that you get them. They're trying to, I mean, kids get over 100 vaccines by the time that they're out of high school. You know, it's just an incredible amount. I got 3 growing up. I think it was smallpox, tetanus.
And polio.
There you go. And that's it. So this is a money-making venture subsidized by the government. And at some points, the government actually buys these vaccines for flu. Right? They just wholesale buy it from the top dollar, I'm sure, from these manufacturers. It's a money-making scheme. Unproven, by the way. I'm going to be on Trustdale this weekend talking about vaccines with someone from the CDC.
That'll be good.
Hopefully they'll keep me on after this. But, I mean, it's – let's be real about vaccines for a second. They've never been tested. They keep saying that, you know, there's no proof, there's no literature out there, there's no studies. And I think people have to get this movie. It's called, it's called The Greater Good. And it's a woman who did 11 years of looking up and really doing in-depth detail research on vaccines. One of the things that she said, which blew my mind, is that these pharmaceutical companies did do some testing, but there's no control. So meaning, instead of using salt water, which is never hurts you, doesn't do anything, their control was thimerosal, which is the mercury that's in the vaccine. So when they tell you, oh, there's no difference between control versus the vaccine, is because they're the same. It's the actual ingredient that makes the vaccine work that they're using as the control. How disingenuous
is this? The
is
lady
that?
That's just come out that was with a pharmaceutical?
No, I think it's a different lady. But that's another one. But the fact that they would get away with doing research that it's completely morally corrupt, ethically bankrupt, and then pawn it off as science, nobody questioning anything, is outrageous.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be back and finish up with Dr. Elena George right after this.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that an inability to lose weight can be due to an underactive thyroid gland? The thyroid gland is an important organ that controls the metabolism. Signs of an underactive thyroid gland include depression, hair loss, weight gain, a low blood pressure, feeling cold, constipation, and a lower libido. Risks for low thyroid function include iron deficiency, liver dysfunction, family history of thyroid disease, and an irregularity in the immune system. If you have noticed any of these symptoms, or you have noticed swelling in the front of your neck, or the collar of your shirt feels tight, you should see your doctor for further evaluation, including blood tests to evaluate the levels of thyroid hormone in your bloodstream. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
Have you heard of quantitative fluid analysis? Commonly called QFA, this test assesses your body at a cellular level and gives insight into your illness. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center offers the QFA, an FDA-approved test that can often provide early diagnosis of conditions before they can be detected with other tests. Dr. Elena George believes in an integrative approach to medicine. She believes in treating the problem and not the symptom. Following a review of your results, Dr. George will suggest treatment approaches such as nutritional counseling and or the use of pharmaceutical-grade enzymes and nutritional supplements. Surgery and prescription medication will be recommended only when necessary. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment and mention that you heard this ad on Radio Sandy Springs and get 10% off of QFA testing.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I think, you know, before the break, we were talking about the power of the government to mandate things that I'm not sure that are, I know from a scientific standpoint, are questionable. But there's so much money floating around in in D.C. and up on Capitol Hill, and all these interests, it's ripe for corruption. There is no way that you can have lobbyists that are allowed to give, I mean, the influence on that the lobbyists have is just out of proportion to what me or you as a constituent has. It's the system's broken. That's never going to change until we stand up and say no more. They shouldn't be allowed to go in there. I've been in my congressman's office, and someone thought I was a lobbyist. That was hysterical. They were from the, what were they from? Immigration lawyers lobby group. And so they thought I was like, no, I'm not a lobbyist. Pissed too when he said it. I'm like, no. No, I mean, just the, I was in Dr. Price's office, actually. They weren't seeing him, so I'm going to give him a pass on that. But it was just business as usual. If you're up there and you have access, obviously you must be spending some big bucks, so you must have some serious pull, because an ordinary Joe can't seem to get in there. But we can vote for them, though.
Dr. Price is voting to fund Obamacare.
When was this? Really?
Oh, yeah. And he, he had a town hall meeting last Wednesday.
Wow.
And it turned rather heated when he came out and said, well, I've decided to go along with the majority and vote for funding. We'd come out with it. We'd heard this, and we'd come out with it before. You know, he is no better than they're not, and none of them are good. They're all terrible. And it's the folks listening that have Dr. Price, Dr. Tom Price, as your representative, you should do everything in your power. Call his office. Everything, and tell him that we don't want war in Syria, and we don't want Obamacare funded.
And ask him, if you would, do you value your Hippocratic Oath? Does that mean anything to you?
Obviously,
ask him that, because it's mutually exclusive. If you, as a physician, and I'm not talking a researcher, I'm not talking someone who's paper pushing, but somebody who's seeing a patient on the front line, if you actually are for this bill, I have to question your motivation. Either you don't know it, you didn't read it, or you really don't give a damn about your patient. Because it comes down to whether you're an advocate for your patient or a government agent. That's what it comes down to. It's not gray. It's not a gray area at all. You are an informant for the government against your patient. As soon as you put that information in the electronic medical record system, as soon as you send your electronic prescription, all of that goes into a database. And that patient I'm sure we already have a dossier on every single American in this country. Wouldn't doubt that. But this one potentially can be used against you. I use this example. I believe it's absolutely correct. If you get prescribed an anti-anxiety medication, a depression medication, for whatever reason, you still want to stop smoking, you had a death in the family, you know, you had a divorce, you need a little bit of help for a short period of time, that will be on your record forever. And God forbid you want a government job or you want to get a firearm, you're not going to get it. Won't even know why you didn't get it, because they're going to be able to access the system. They've already admitted that HHS is going to have access. They already admitted that the FBI has access to this. They've already admitted that the IRS has access. What about NSA? What about Homeland Security? They're not telling us, but it would make perfect sense that they'd be involved as well. I mean, look at what they've done. Under Sebelius, they were supposed to hire navigators, right? They've hired 83 inspectors, like, what are these guys? Criminal investigators. Why does HHS need criminal investigators to implement Obamacare? It's because you're a criminal until proven otherwise. If you decide I'm not going to pay into the system, they're going to come for you in some way. They're going to make it hard for you. They've already doing it to libertarian groups and to Tea Party groups. That's their template. You think you're special just because you're an individual? No, you're easier. You're lower hanging fruit. They'll make your life a living hell. So maybe, and I know that there won't be any more tax returns coming, because the money now is all virtual anyway, but it's electronic. It's ACH debit. You have to give that information when you enter these exchanges. It's not you writing a check. It's them siphoning the money before you even get to see it, just like Medicare, just like Social Security, just like, you know, paying your payroll tax. This is where that money is going to be taken out from. You know, I can only imagine how much money people have removed from their paycheck. a working family, maybe two parents working, two jobs, and they actually are just subsisting. What happens when this kicks in and they make just enough money that they opt out of the subsidies, and then they're on the hook to pay for those sitting on their couch eating donuts as well as Warren Buffett? What happens to those people? Then if they're lucky, they'll be able to maintain their lifestyle, but maybe what the goal is to get rid of that layer of the society. The ones that have just enough funds to be self-sufficient, not be beholden to the government, actually, you know, live the American dream, what's left of it. Maybe it's about getting rid of that group, because they're troublemakers. They think for themselves. They don't want the government to babysit them. They want to do their own thing. That's a problem. This system does not work on that. This system works on do what I say. Don't question me.
Total control.
And now they've gotten healthcare to do that same thing. And, you know, you would think that, you know, I'm one of those people in that middle. I'm trained as a physician who is self-thinking, self-sufficient, self-starter, self-learner. We're going by the wayside.
You're in deep trouble.
We are. And the people coming behind us are 9 to 5, 501, I'm done. It's a template. It's a cookbook. I'm good. Let the PA do it. I'll just sign off on it. I'm not even going to see the patient, examine them. I'm just going to walk in the room, write the prescription. Those are the people that are coming on into the system. They're like, not going to question it. They're like, just give me my check and let me go home. And I'm just happy to have an MD behind my name. Forget that I got it from a Caribbean medical school or wherever. I'm still an MD. Those are the folks that are coming into the system in droves. And the system will run very well with those folks in positions of power and on the front line. You're already seeing that. You told me in the break about somebody going to the hospital and being misdiagnosed. I've heard the same story from the ER. You know, saying nonsense. I'm like, that's not even medicine. What are you talking about? No shame, nothing. This is a system. It's just not. Once you break this system, in order to go back and train people who actually know something, I'm not sure it can be done.
Well, with that, we're going to have to close it out for the morning. Dr. George, thank you as always. And we'll be back next week with Medicine on Call.